This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time.
It's time for Scrap Guy Solutions with your host, Jeremy Miller. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Scrap Guy Solutions. I'm your host, Jeremy Miller, and I hope you're having an incredible day. This podcast is all about helping you make things happen. And today we have an interview with a local guy who is doing just that, making things happen. Jason Barham and I first met over 10 years ago when he stopped by the scrapyard to advocate in support of a new Minnesota Viking stadium. And over the course of the past 10 years or so, I've heard from Jason on a few different issues that he's been passionate about. Sometimes we agree, other times we don't, but we always have a valuable and very informative discussion. As I've gotten to know Jason better over the years, I've continued to be impressed with his determination and his desire to pursue things that he is passionate about. I talked about something I call P squared in episode 17 of Scrap Guy Solutions. P squared is purpose and passion, and Jason is doing an excellent job of pursuing his P squared. He has worked at Peerless Chain here in Winona for almost 13 years now. He is a passionate Minnesota sports fan, which landed him a photography gig with the Minnesota Vikings. And most recently, he helped start a band to pursue his passion for music. Well, let's get to the interview with Jason Barham. All right. Well, I am excited to welcome Jason Barham into the Miller Scrap and Disposal Studio for this episode of the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast. Jason, welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for having me come down. I appreciate it. I'm just pretty much a Winonan for life. I grew up a little bit around Lewiston area, and then I moved to Winona when I was about 14 with my dad. And then we did a couple trips. We used to love NASCAR. So we did Daytona a couple of times.
Oh, sweet, man.
So Florida got me hooked, and I happen to know someone that lived in Florida. So when I was 18, I actually moved out of Winona, moved to Florida in between Orlando and Daytona. And then it was about the age 25, something like that. That's when I moved back here, ended up having a kid. I went to school for welding, and, you know, I've been here since.
Awesome. And you work at Peerless Chain, is that correct? Tell us a little bit about what you do at Peerless Chain. I believe Peerless Chain is one of the largest chain manufacturers in the world and probably the largest in the country, is that right?
Yeah, it's largest in North America as far as I know. I think they're the fourth largest in the world. I'm just actually coming up on 13 years being there. Pretty proud about that. I am now the welder fabricator there. I've been doing that job for almost 7 years. And so, engineers will drop prints for new machines to be made, or, machines will break down and I'll have to repair, big control arms and stuff like that to get the machines back up and running as soon as possible.
Awesome. So 13 years or going on 13 years. Yeah, congratulations. That is really cool. And of course, this area is known to be sort of a manufacturing mecca, and Peerless Chain is certainly one of those large manufacturers that we are so incredibly happy to have here in our community. And they do a lot for the community and, of course, provide a lot of jobs here in the area. You have a little knack for photography, too. Tell us about some of your experiences with the Minnesota Vikings and your photography.
Well, the photography thing all started really when, I mentioned earlier, me and my dad did some trips down to Daytona. And so I brought the camera down there, and it was the first ever night race at Daytona. So I still got this picture up in my little studio room, and it's about half an hour before the race started, and you can just see all the people coming up in the stands, and you got the tri-oval and everything like that, and the dusk is coming down. And I took pictures all throughout that race and the next race, and something I really started to like, you know. And I had an aunt that did photography as well, and it just kind of was put on the back burner for a lot of years because I did music and stuff like that. And then I just got into the Vikings as a fan, big time fan. Started about 07 when I watched the draft when Peterson got drafted.
AP, baby.
Yeah, and that's really when I was all in on the Vikings from there on out. So I would message, like, email in, like, Vikings.com blog, Mike Wobshaw, and then a bunch of other bloggers out there. And that's when Les Frazier got fired in 2013. And I was following this blogger, and I listed out everything. I said, Mike Zimmer will be the next head coach of this team. And I said, all the reasons why this will happen. I said, if this happens to come true, give me a training camp pass for the day, credential.
Basically an opportunity to show you what I can do, right?
Yep. And this blogger was like, okay. And everything lined up precisely what I said. And so he held to his word. He brought me down for the day. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of this situation today. And I took my wife's camera. I brought my dad's camcorder. I went down there. I bought video editing software. So I tried to do all of this stuff on the fly. I'm like, you never know what could happen out of this. So
did he didn't originally bring you in to take photos then. He brought you in just to help contribute to his blog. Is that correct? Or what? How did you get that pass? Like, what was the reason why you got that training camp pass?
I said I would do, like, pictures and
okay,
stuff.
Okay.
But I didn't really. I wasn't a photographer at all, really.
Well, you had some experience.
Some, a little bit.
A little bit of experience.
A lot of it is all
you worked your magic, right?
Yeah, if there's a will, there's a way. And that's why I like that. I'm like, all right, I see, like, possible opportunity here. So I went to camp that year, and I couldn't figure out her camera. And you know how all these cameras work nowadays. It's auto. So I only was able to do one click at a time, and I had to zoom it all. So I had, like, the hardest job. I happened to take some of the best photos. One of them, I'll show you after the show, it's Jerome Simpson. He was sprawled out, and I couldn't have captured the picture any better than that. And I had a couple of people tell me, hey, you should really talk to Jerome. He'll like that picture, you know.
I bet he will. I bet he did like it.
I'm talking to Jerome, and he's like, man, that is sweet. So I sent him the picture and everything like that, and I had the guy that brought me on, he did all the videos, pictures and everything. He was super happy with the work that I did. So I had other people that I was meeting around there. So I felt like, why not network myself a little bit here, you know? Because I was loving it. I was like, this is cool, man, you know? And so I ended up talking to another blogger out there, VikeFans.com. His name is Tom Moore, really nice guy. And he ended up working with a lot of old Viking players and stuff because he would get NFL films, like old stuff that's really tough to find. So I ran into him and I was talking to him throughout the year. He brought me on the next year. And man, it was a struggle for 3 years. You know, I wanted to do more than training camp, but it's just hard, you know. And then it was 2017. We got to do in locker room interviews after the games. We would do pregame pictures I would do of warm-ups. I couldn't do in-game yet, but we would do on-field interviews. And then afterwards, we did the post-game locker room stuff. Was there for the Minneapolis Miracle. I mean, that was nuts being in the locker room. That was awesome.
I bet that was just super cool, man.
And it was just running on such a high. And then I go to Philly. We're in the press box and everything. And we march down the field, get that touchdown. I look at him. I was like, we're going to do this. And I told him, I was like, because you're supposed to be kind of professional there. You know, I was like, if we're going to the Super Bowl, I'm pouring a beer on myself in the locker room. You know it's going to be mayhem in there. And as soon as I said that, it went
downhill from there.
Went downhill from there.
Well, another great example of how important it is, we talk a lot about it on this podcast, how important it is to network and build those relationships and put yourself out there. You what I always tell people, I learned this from my mom, is you don't know if you don't know. So you just got to ask. The worst case is someone can tell you no, but if you don't know the answer, yes or no, all you can do is ask. And more often than not, those opportunities will come your way. And this is a great example of how you made things happen.
Yeah, I mean, the for sure answer no is if you don't try. That's guaranteed. So it's like, no matter if like your little dream or whatever you're thinking like could possibly happen, don't think it's impossible, because then it is impossible. And I mean, after 2017, my goal was still to do on field, you know, photography. I started working with Let's Play Football Minnesota, that was a partner with the Minnesota Vikings, as we covered high school football across the state. So I became their lead photographer. And what do you know, I finally got my NFL credentials. So my first game was 2019 at Kansas City.
At Kansas City?
Yeah, at Kansas
City. On the road?
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that.
Yep. And then I did Detroit game that year, and that was when Danielle Hunter got his 50th sack, the fastest player in NFL history to get to 50th sack, and I got some good pictures of that, so that was pretty cool. And then, unfortunately, COVID hit. So all of the smaller media types kind of all got cut off, which, you know, is understandable, but our time was kind of coming to an end of like, well, we're a smaller blogger site, and it's like, they were really awesome to us, the Vikings and the staff, and we just didn't want to feel like we're being like a burden to them, you know, because the little guy out there, but they were awesome to us. And it was just pretty cool that, you know, you're talking to big wigs and they go, hey, Jason, you know, at the games, you know, they know you by a first name basis. So it was just, if I were to say like my first day when I got the training camp to where it ended up, I would have been like, are you serious?
It's just awesome. That's a great example. Here's a kid from Winona. Yep. That had a passion for photography, a passion for football, yep. And you put yourself out there, you started to network, and like you said earlier, that when there's a will, there's a way, where there's a will, there's a way, and you put in the time and the effort, and you networked, you built those relationships, and before you knew it, you're traveling,
yep.
On the field,
yep.
NFL,
yep.
Vikings at Kansas City Chiefs. With Patrick Mahomes, right?
That was the game Mahomes was hurt. Started. I know. That's the only thing.
That would have been the icing on top of the cake there.
Yeah, and we still lost the game.
What a great opportunity. And speaking of following your passion, you're a music guy, and you recently started a band. Can you tell us a little bit about your passion for music and what you're doing with the band?
Yeah, music to me has always just been something that just naturally just lured me in. And I would say it was like 7, 8 years old, you know, I started picking up like tiny little guitar, you know, it wasn't even really a real guitar. And then it wasn't until like I was 11 years old, my dad went down and bought me a guitar from Hearts Music and started playing. And it just, what sucked me in was watching Austin City Limits with my dad and Steve Ray Vaughan just killing it up there on stage, man. As a little guy, I was just in awe of like, man, that guy's just giving it all up there, and it was just awesome to see. And I started really getting into Hendrix, Van Halen, all like the big like guitar kind of gods, I guess. But in the end, I don't know, it was just, I started feeling like I had the become more myself. So there was a while there that I didn't like try to learn any other types of music. I just picked up the guitar and I just played it, and I just kept playing it and playing it and playing it. And I thought about it like it's a puzzle. Every time you can pick up the guitar, it's a new puzzle that you're trying to put together. So it was about 25, I moved back, I got in a band in town here, a cover band. And then, well, I was about 30 years old. I took a break. That's when the photography stuff started happening. And there was another couple of little bands I had going there. And I really worked really good with a guy named Shane Loken. He's from Houston. He's my bass player. And we were in a couple bands, and we always tried doing, like, the original band thing. And as soon as the COVID thing happened, he messaged me, you know. He's like, God, we got this project going on here, and we need another guitar player. And I'm like, yeah, man, I've been listening to you guys' stuff, and I really think, like, I would fit in great. Like, I'm hoping, like, you could talk to the guys and let me come on down to, you know, let me try out, you know. And he's like, well, we just happen to have a show coming up here in a couple of months. So he gave me, like, some demos and stuff like that of, like, their original music that they had, and then gave me a list of, like, the cover songs. And the first practice, 5 minutes in, we all looked at each other and nodded, like, yep, that was it. So that was the start of the band Dead Amsterdam in 2021, at least for me. They were going a little bit before that. So you got the drummer Levi Tanner. He's a barber down in La Crosse. Joel Griffith, he's a former veteran. He's a singer in the band. And then Shane Loken, he's a software guy at Houston County Courthouse. So pretty smart guys. And we just work really awesome together. And it's been a great journey. I mean, a lot of tough work over the years. And it all paid off. This year we got off 3 music festivals, including Rockfest.
That's a big deal, man. Yeah, man. That's awesome. And then you guys played, tell me how the, and our listeners, how it worked for the Big Muddy Brewing Crew, because you had to do like a playoff there were multiple bands that were competing to get on stage at the Big Muddy Brewing Crew, right? And you guys won that competition. Is that right? How did that work?
Yeah, it was a little stressful. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, because it was 2 songs and we're used to kind of like a bigger sound set up there. And I was like, oh, man. And the first song was a little shaky with the sound stuff. So like the second song, I knew I had to do something here to make a stick out. So I was standing up on the table doing a solo and stuff. And luckily we ended up winning and the Big Muddy Brewing Crew. That was an awesome event. The weather was absolutely perfect down there, and everything worked out great. And it was fun. The other bands were really good too. They're great competitors.
Well, that's awesome. Playing at Rockfest, winning local competitions, playing at the Big Muddy Brewing Crew. Sounds like you guys have a bright future ahead. So end of the year, you have 1 more concert. And then by the time this podcast drops, that concert will have come and gone now. But then you're going to do some studio time. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we got 1 more show coming up. It's like a little Halloween bash that we got. It'll be over in Cochrane, Lil's Cochrane. But then we're done. We're going to kind of take a break, though. We're not going to try to do another show until early part of March, unless like another national touring act opening opportunity happens. But in November, we're going to record our second studio project. It's going to be at Drum Farm Studio up in Menominee. So we're really, really excited about that. And we worked hard all summer, and like 90% of all the money that we gathered all throughout the summer from awesome people out there supporting us is all going into this project. So we're looking forward to it. We got 4 days in studio and 4 days to mix. So
awesome. And if listeners want to listen or tune into some of your music, how can they do that? Is it a website? Is it on YouTube? How do they learn more about Dead Amsterdam and listen to some of your music?
Really? It's whatever you have, we're on there. We're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes. So we just put it on this place and then it distributed it throughout all of them. So we're all out there, and then hopefully you'll hear some new music from us first part of 2025.
Awesome, man. Well, Jason, you are proof that if you believe in yourself and you set your mind to do something and you put in the time and the hard work and the effort that you can get it done. You proved it with your photography experience with the Minnesota Vikings. You've proved it with your music. You've proved it with your strong work ethic. I mean, 13 years at Peerless Chain, that is awesome. You're a husband, you're a father, just doing great things. So I want to thank you for coming in today. Before we leave, though, we were talking a little bit before we hopped on the podcast, and you were talking about how the office that we're in now here at Miller Scrap and Disposal is a little nicer than our old office when we first met. Why don't you tell listeners how you and me first connected?
So I would say it was probably 2011 or 12. It was right after the Metrodome collapsed, and they're talking about the new stadium proposals and stuff like that. And I always just like, I always got to speak up. I got to say what I feel, you know. You can't do that unless you go talk to your local representative, and that happened to be you. So I came in to your little office back then, and I said, "Hey, Jeremy, you got like 5 minutes?" He said, "Sure, man." You know, so I grabbed a chair, we sat down and talked, and I said how important I thought it was to figure out something to get a new stadium built for the Vikings. I was like, because we don't want to lose this team that's been such a strong heritage for the state, not only us in the state, but there's fans outside of Minnesota, you know. We want to keep it Minnesota Vikings. We don't want the Lakers to go to California, just like the Vikings were rumored to go to California if it wasn't going to happen. So we both agreed really good about that. And I mean, same thing happened in the early 90s with the North Stars, you know. It was a little war of words there, and he packed his bags and they went to Dallas, and I was crushed because I was absolute huge North Stars fan, and I didn't want to have the same feeling again being ripped out of me, and as long, same as so many other Minnesotans across state, you know. That would have been awful. And you know what, you worked hard on it. I remember watching the vote on it, you know. That's how much I stuck with it. So I just want to say thanks again for listening to me, and
yeah, you bet. What you do, man. Absolutely. Well, I've had the great honor of serving in the Minnesota Senate for 14 years now, and to this day, the Viking Stadium discussion, that was probably, if not the top, one of certainly the top two or three issues that I've heard about from constituents. It was really, really important. And like you, I was convinced that the Minnesota Vikings would have left the state of Minnesota had we not reached a deal on that stadium. So it just tells folks the importance to whatever the issue is, really, really important to reach out to your elected officials and have those type of conversations, because your voice does matter. And Jason, before we leave here, you had a really strong and good prediction, it sounds like, that got you eventually on the sidelines for the Minnesota Vikings doing photography. What is your prediction for the rest of the season for the Minnesota Vikings?
I'm going to say I think we end up getting the number one seed, and I think we're in the NFC Championship game. And then I think, unfortunately, our luck just kind of runs out. But this time around, it's not going to be that devastating. It's going to be tough. It's always tough to get that close. But unlike other years where you had the 40-year-old quarterback, you got a young buck waiting right there, hungry ever, J.J. McCarthy. He's going to come out next year. So either way, this is just a poker year where it's just, hey, whatever happens, happens. You know, just have fun with it. Enjoy the ride. But, yeah, I think they go 13-4 regular season, win the divisional round, we'll host a playoff game, and just or they'll host a NFC Championship game, and then, you know, just the bad voodoo again somehow will strike us down.
I think this is the year, Jason. I disagree. I think this is the year. This is our year. Super Bowl champs, Minnesota Vikings. You heard it right here on the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast. Jason, thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate you, and just props to you on all the great things that you're doing, man.
Awesome, man. Thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. All I can say is it's pretty cool to see a local guy like Jason make things happen by finding his purpose and pursuing his passions. I'm excited to see what the future holds for Jason and his band. I will include a link to the band's website, Dead Amsterdam, in the show notes. Well, that will complete this episode of Scrap Guy Solutions. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and please subscribe, follow, give us a like, share, and leave us a review. We truly appreciate you. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, please email scrapguysolutions@gmail.com or check out scrapguysolutions.com. And most importantly, make today your day. Figure out what you want, then get started, stick with it, and go make it happen. Until next time, peace out. 4, 3, 2, 1, watch out, here I come. This is my time. I'm on the rise, can't hold me down, I'm too fly. This is my time, ready to shine.